Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Growing up, we were made to think that quicksand was going to be a big problem in our adult life. And I've yet to see any quicksand. We always saw it in movies. We always saw in cartoons that quicksand. And I've never encountered any quicksand physically. But oh, there's some quicksand spiritually that we step into. And we get stuck. So how do we get unstuck? How to avoid that stuck cycle? Because a lot of us get stuck. Then God gets us unstuck just for us to get stuck again, sometimes in the same issue. Sometimes it's a brand new issue. So how to avoid that stuck cycle? The difference between stuck and repetition is where we're going in these next couple sessions and then living a stuck-free life. The definition of stuck means unable to move from a particular position or place. There are some of us that have been stuck geographically, but more so, I believe, in the room and online tonight that many of us would be able to attest, I feel like I've been stuck spiritually. I feel like I've been stuck in this relationship. I feel like I've been stuck in this job. And so being stuck in a particular position or place or unable to change a situation. And I'm quick to point out to you, we talked about it during the communion portion of the service, that because of the blood of Jesus, and because of the stripes he took on his back, all things are now possible for believers. And so what you and I could not do on our own because of Jesus, praise God, we now have all ability. We're anointed to do it, and we should expect it to be done in our life. Somebody say amen. There's two declarations we need to make over our life every day. I'm never getting stuck again. And I will help everyone who is stuck to get unstuck. My number one job is to stay unstuck. Why? Because a stuck father can't raise unstuck kids. A stuck husband can't lead a marriage and keep it unstuck. And so there is something that we've got to grab a hold of. And that first thing is I'm going to make sure that I'm everything that God has called me to be. I'm going to make sure that my eyes are on Jesus. I'm going to make sure that I'm being led and fed of the Spirit. I'm going to make sure that when I show up to the job tomorrow that they get the best version of me they've ever gotten, which is the Jesus version, praise God. I'm going to make sure that when I go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas this year that there is such a difference in my life that they talk about it either in front of me or behind my back that they're not who they used to be. I'm going to make sure that I never get stuck again, but I am going to spend my life making sure that anyone that I see stuck, I do all I can to get them unstuck in Jesus' name. Can I give a round of applause and a big shout out to those of you that serve in ministries, for those of you that run a camera, for those of you that are in the tech ministry, for those of you that are teaching our children, for those of you that are working in all of these ministries. Why? Because when you run a camera, you're helping someone get unstuck. Why? Because on the other side of these screens here tonight, there's some stuck people, but because you showed up at 6:30 today, because you're zooming in on a camera, not too close, in Jesus' name, they're going to hear the Word of God preached. They took communion in their apartment tonight and God moved and they're unstuck because you said stuck people don't allow other people to stay stuck. I'm going to help them get free. That's what it means when we said yes to following Jesus. Jesus went to more than 12, but 12 men in the New Testament said yes when Jesus said, follow me. Fast forward a few years and you see Peter, who when Jesus said, follow me, was a messed up, cussing, bipolar fisherman who is now in the house of Cornelius preaching one of the greatest sermons to ever be preached because it opened up Jesus and the Holy Spirit to Gentile people like you and me. All because he said, first, I'm going to get unstuck and then I'm going to use the rest of my life freeing people that used to be just like me. So we make those two declarations. So how do we get unstuck? Isaiah 43 is where we left off last session. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the things of the past. Those two commands there, forget the former things. We must remember to forget every day, to not carry baggage into our future, to not carry the sins that we've already been forgiven of into our future. He says, do not dwell on the past. Never let your mind stay in the past too long. Nostalgia is a dangerous and poisonous thing. What your mind thinks about long enough, your spirit will follow. That is why Paul would write that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. If I think about it long enough, I will transform my life to become like it. When it's a Jesus thing, it transforms us. But if we look at our past too long, it conforms us. And we're not called to be conformed, we're called to be transformed. Amen. Verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. When God said, I'm doing a new thing, that's not just new to you, that's new to everyone. I believe in 2022 that God is wanting to do things that have never been seen before in the last 6,000 years of mankind. I'm not talking about new to Texas, new to Living Way, or new to you. I'm talking about you're going to be the first partaker of a new move, a new wave, a new shift that God is doing. Listen, and I'm like Samuel. I'm just saying, God, I hear you. Use me. Send me. Lord, I want to be a part of the new thing. I don't want a recycled miracle. I don't want what you did last decade for you to do it again. I want you to do something brand new in my life. And that only happens in the unstuck, living and making bold moves for Jesus. Said, now it springs up. Right now it springs up. I love the word now because it's always now. 10 minutes from now, it'll be now. 10 weeks from now, it'll be now. Now it springs up right now. Two reasons we miss the new thing. We aren't looking for it, or we're looking for the new thing done in an old way. We're looking for how he's done it before, and sometimes God is coming out of left field with a new way of doing something that he has done before, so don't miss it. How do we avoid the stuck cycle? This is what God dropped in my spirit a few weeks ago, and I absolutely love it because it's one of those things that makes you lean into the text a little harder. Isaiah 43, our theme text, God says to Isaiah in one of the most corrupt times that the nation of Israel has ever had, he said, forget the former things. Three chapters later, in Isaiah 46, God says to Isaiah, remember the former thing. We're only talking about three chapters. We're literally talking about God says, don't remember the former things. He takes a breath, and the very next thing he says is, hey, remember the former things. Has God ever talked to you and it didn't make sense? You know why I love when that happens? I don't want to leave until it does. I don't want to leave my house unless I know what God is doing and what God is saying. So when he says the first thing, hey, Brandon, do not remember. Remember not the former things. That's how the King James says it. Or do not think, do not remember the former things. All right, God, I'm with you on that. My past is behind me. My future is so bright, I got to wear shades. And right when I get to the door, God says, hey, Brandon, hey, remember the former things. Well, you want me to forget them or remember them? What do you want me to do? And this is a joke around our house when you give somebody two options. Hey, do you want to go to Outback or you want to go to Fleming's? Yes. I'd like to go to both. Let's hit one for lunch, one for dinner. Would you rather have a new car or a new house? Yes. I'll take both. So this is where we are. The revelation of what God is dealing with Isaiah is he said, you have to get good at remembering some things and forgetting other things. Check this out. Remember the former things. Those of long ago, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. When we look at remember in the Greek, it is mnemonesko. Remember means to recall. It means to call to our mind. It means to mention. Ooh. To remember, you have to mention, which means this. Some things, the only way you're going to remember them is if you talk about them all the time. Sometimes we forget because we're not talking about it enough. I've been guilty of forgetting people's names when I meet them on Sunday. And so now when they tell me, hello, my name's John Smith, I can't listen to the next three sentences that they say because in my mind I'm like, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith. So my choices are, do I listen to what they're saying or remember their name? And so that repetition, but saying it, There's some things that we need to remember, but we can only remember them by talking about them. That means you can't just talk Jesus talk on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. That means you can't just talk Jesus prayer when you need something. You talk Jesus all the time. You talk about what he's done. You talk about all that he's brought you through. You talk about the miracle after miracle after miracle it did to bring you to here. And when you talk about those things, it helps you remember. To recall, to call to our mind, to mention, which means to open up our mouth. I love this definition. To actively, with intention, recall. It's an action. It's intentional. You will not remember unless you really care. Here's the three best ways to remember. And these aren't even biblical reasons. These are just psychological ways that you remember. Number one, recital. You say it over and over. We just talked about that one. Number two, repetition. Over and over and over again. If you read your Bible one day in January, it's not going to change your year. If you pray one prayer on Sunday morning at 11:10 every Sunday, it's going to change your moment. It's not going to change your week. God wants to talk to us all the time. If you worship just when your favorite Maverick City song comes on, it's going to make you feel God and make you feel good for that moment, but it's not going to carry past the four walls of this room. We need recital. We need to hear what God has done. We need to hear who God is, but we need to talk about how good he is all the time. Mandy is a very shy, private person. If I brag on Mandy and it's just me and her in the room, she still says, stop, don't say that. Every day for the past few months, she's going to hate that I tell you this. Every day for the past few months, she walks by my office at the house or I'm up at the barn working. I see her across the pasture and she's out there with the dog or she's doing something in the yard. I say, hey, what's your name? Actually, I say, hey. What your name is? You're looking like a snack. Don't say that. Don't say it. And I told her this the other day. I said, would you rather me not say anything? Or would you rather me brag about who you are and that I love you and that you're beautiful and that you're perfect and that you made me better? And if you have those, I'm here to tell you, you can't just, some of us need to get loud and proud about our relationship with Jesus. Why is it that we as believers are quiet about Jesus when the world has gotten so loud about everything else? I am here to tell you, I am going to recite. I'm going to recite with repetition the goodness of the Lord. He's done so much for me to keep it quiet. He's done so much for me to be quiet and to keep it to myself. This is not a private display of affection. It is a public display of affection. He didn't die for me behind closed doors. He was naked on a cross for you and I. Recital. I'm saying it, and I'm saying it over and over and over again. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible for me. I love it. Joshua 1 verse 8 in the NIV says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always. David said, seven times a day do I praise God. This is Joshua talking, and the word of God is to always be on our mouth, on our lips. That's recital. Meditate on it day and night. That's repetition. You get it so intertwined in who you are, when bad news comes, you attack it with the word of God. You're not flipping through a Bible. You're quoting the word of God. You're quoting the promises of God. You're quoting what God has given you, what God has said, what God has said over you, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. That's recital and repetition. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's unstuck. He said, when the word of God becomes recited on our lips at all times and meditated there and night, there in day and night, that's repetition. He said, you have a successful and a prosperous life. It is so ambiguous. In that life, hold your marriage. In that life, hold your ministry. In that life, hold your purpose. In that life, hold your money. In that life, hold your children. He said, when you stay unstuck, he said, it is going to be in all areas of your life because you recited the word and you did it with repetition, and your life, guess what, followed your word, and your world started matching the word of God. Praise God. All because you remembered, and you remembered by reciting and the repetition. And finally, number three, if you want to remember something, you got to write it down. Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Proverbs 7:3 says, bind them, talking about the word of God, on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write it down. When you write something down, you are exponentially more likely to remember it. That's why writing notes in church is good, but writing vision from God, writing the promises of God, writing what you find in Isaiah as it applies to your life, writing it down on a post-it and sticking it on the bathroom mirror so you see it 3 or 4 times a day, what are you doing? You're looking at it so you can recite it, so it becomes repetition. You've written it down, and so your life is not going to become stuck again. Why? Because you are now remembering what Jesus did. Remembering what God has done in your life. What former things does God say to remember? God said, I am God and there is no other. The first thing he says is forget the former things. 3 chapters later, remember the former things. And these are the two things he says to remember, that I am God and there is no other. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jesus. Listen, we always preface, and it's a cute pastor's cliche or pastor's way of saying it, that we don't serve a little g God. I think that actually does disservice to the big God we serve, because God doesn't even view them as gods. He views them as regular people, mere mortals, but the immortal one that is Christ, that's who we worship. He said, there's no one like me, is the second thing he says. There's no one on earth that can do what I can do. There's no one that has done what I've done. In a few months during the Easter season, you will see people, and there's a lot of it happens south of our border in Mexico and South America, and they will literally, not in reenactments, they will literally have people nailing themselves to the cross. I'm sorry, sir, but you are not even like God. You are not anything like him, and so what you're doing doesn't even help you. There was only one that could go to the cross, and this is God's way of saying, hey, if you're going to remember anything of your past, remember how awesome I am. Remember that there's no one like me. Remember there's no one that can do what I have done, praise God. When we rightly divide the truth of what God is saying when he says, forget the former things, and then with his next breath, he says, remember the former things, we understand that the only thing that we should, or what is worth remembering from our past, is the greatness of God and how good God has been to us, which is our testimony. Some of you, you know my brother, you've never heard him speak other than once or twice a year on the platform. And we've asked him to speak more, but he likes being behind the scenes. But 25 years ago, he preached in Houston, Texas at a friend of ours church, and he preached on the message, God's Selective Amnesia. And it was a great sermon. And you know how I know it's a great sermon? Because I can still remember every point that he made. And this truth that he preached that night, I'm going to share with you tonight, that God has selective amnesia. What does that mean? That when we repent and accept Christ in our lives, God forgets our sin but remembers our name. That God forgets all of the junk that's under the blood. Thank God for the blood. But when he sees us, he doesn't see the messed up version of us. He sees a daughter of the King. He sees a son of the King. This is what I think needs to be preached more. The God of the Old Testament that used to open up the earth and kill people, that used to give leprosy to people that gossiped and complained, that God is still alive today. The only reason he doesn't do it in 2022 is because Jesus made a sacrifice and Jesus stands between us and the Father. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that he remembers Brandon. morning, but he doesn't remember the last 40 years. I'm glad that he remembers my worship, but he doesn't remember my worry. I'm glad that he remembers my faith, but he doesn't remember my fear. I'm glad that he's got a selective memory. In closing, this. So if God has a selective memory, we must too. I must be able to forget my mistakes, forget my past, but remember the God of my past. And this is, if you catch it, you catch it. This is where God is just so awesome. He's really asking you to remember and forget the same thing. I forget drug addiction, but I remember the God that delivered me from the addiction. I forget the cancer report, but I remember the healing God that took cancer out of my body. I forget the struggled marriage, the broken marriage, the divorce that is in my past, but I remember the God that was in the dark moments and in the newness of life and in the newness of a brand new day. We forget, but we remember. He said, if you're going to remember something from your past, remember what I did in your past. I've heard it said, and I love it, the only reason I look back is to see how far I've come. And when I look back to see how far I've come, that's actually a misstatement, how far God has brought me, because it is not my power. If it was up to me, I'd still be stuck. But because of Christ, I'm unstuck. Go ahead and stand on your feet in this building tonight. We're getting ready to move on to what repetition looks like in the positive form as it relates to being stuck in the negative form. Because being stuck is just doing the same thing over and over, not making any progress. But I'm talking to people in the room and online tonight that I believe the power over your past is not what you forget only, but what you remember. Say, Pastor Brandon, I didn't grow up in church. I've only been coming to a church like this for 3 months. I don't have God in my past. Oh, yes, you do. The reason you're still alive, the reason that you live to tell the tale. Ooh, I've been through some stuff. Now, if you stack up what I've been through next to the other Fender, the original Fender 4, my load is light. I haven't had to beat cancer 6 or 8 times like the original Fender 3 have. But I've had some moments in my life. 2008, Easter Eve, double barrel, mare kicked me, broke 6 ribs. My life flashed before my eyes, and I was trying to catch that breath. You say, where was God? Oh, he was right there. I wouldn't want to have to go through that again, but since I lived through it, oh, it's such a cool story. And the story grows every time I tell it. Started off as an 800-pound man, and that was a Clydesdale, 2,000 pounds. Kicked me in the face. I never fell down. I just staggered a little. We don't want to go through that stuff. No one wants to be stuck. But when you get out and you're delivered, you're healed, you're set free, you're going to say, God, I didn't pick that, but now what a testimony do I have? And I don't want to think about that anymore, but God, you were there for me. I'm opening this altar right now for those of you that feel stuck, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe spiritually, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in a job, maybe it's financially. I don't know what it is, but if you feel stuck, it's time to get unstuck. But I'm here to help somebody forget those former things, but I'm really here to help you focus in on Jesus tonight. Focus in on Jesus tonight. I don't know your problem, but I know the promise. His name is Jesus. I don't know what you're lacking, but I do know what can fill you up, and that's Jesus and His Holy Spirit. If that's you, I would love for you to come down to this altar. I would love for you to put your hands together for all those that are walking to this altar right now and encourage them. Remember what it was like to be stuck. Remember what it was like to not be able to move forward. Well, they're going to get unstuck tonight. Some of them are going to get unstuck in their mind. Some of them are going to get unstuck in their hearts. Some of them are stuck physically, and God's going to help move them into new places. I feel that in my spirit, that God's getting ready to move. It's a physical move. Remember, I'm doing a new thing, God says to Isaiah. He said, it's a now thing. Now it springs forth. I'm going to come down and I'm going to lay my hands and pray for those in this altar. But in my heart of hearts, I know there's another dozen in this room. I know there's some online, but there's another dozen in this room that you want to get unstuck. Maybe you're a little stuck, but don't let a little stuck turn into a lot of stuck. Right now, God can free you. God can free you. Remember when? Forget the former things, but remember Jesus. He's been with you all of this time. Here they are coming to an altar. Praise God. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands on them, to go ahead and start praying, to go ahead and start interceding, to go ahead and start imparting what God is doing right now. I'm going to ask our altar workers to get ready to pray, to get ready to ask them if they need salvation. They want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If that's you, you want to be saved tonight, this is your moment. You want to be filled tonight with the Holy Spirit, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, tonight is your night. That's you. I'd love for you to come down right now. But if you're at a good place in your faith tonight, go ahead and stretch your hand forward to these men and women in this altar. If you're in the altar, lift both hands to heaven and just start talking to God. Just start talking to God. God is speaking. God is moving. In this moment, forget about what brought you here and focus in on Jesus. Let your faith be awakened tonight. Let it be rattled. Let it be shaken tonight. In the name of Jesus, we shake that faith awake. Praise God. Lord, do what only you can do, God. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, God. Lord, unstuck is what we're declaring. Let's pray.